This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Governor Pat McCrory proposed coal ash legislation yesterday in response to Duke Energy's Dan Rivers spill. The plan could result in the closing or conversion of 33 coal ash ponds across North Carolina. Many environmentalists are unhappy. They want Duke Energy to drain and dig up all of the ponds, not simply convert them. We'll hear more about that. Also, North Carolina's Mining and Energy Commission completed work on policies and regulations to govern fracking. Jorge Valencia is WUNC's Capital Bureau reporter, and he joins us now. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Hello, Frank.
Let's talk about that proposal for coal ash ponds. What did the governor say?
Yeah, so there were a couple of stories related to the environment here in North Carolina that happened yesterday, and that was probably the highest profile one. Governor McCrory wants to have oversight of these 33 coal ash ponds that you just mentioned that Duke Energy has across the state. And this is a big deal because, as you remember from a couple of months ago, there were about 36 tons of coal ash that spilled from one of these ponds into the Dan River. Now, what he wants to do is that in some of the ponds, they would remove the coal ash and just take it somewhere else. And other ponds, they would drain the water that's in them, and then they would cover them. So environmental groups aren't really happy with this, because what they would want to happen is for the coal ash to be removed from all of these ponds, because what happens is that all these ponds are unlined. So they're saying that all these toxic chemicals are seeping into the ground and into the waterways, and it's going to continue to happen until you take out all the coal ash.
Does 33 represent the sum total of coal ash ponds Duke Energy has in this state?
Yes, it is. And they're across the state, and probably other than this one that's over by the Dan River. The one that gets a lot of attention and that the governor has his eyes on is one that's near a mountain island lake, which is the lake that the city of Charlotte uses for its drinking water.
And you say the environmentalists say, look, well, you got to drain all of these. We'll never be satisfied and we'll never be safe until you do. Governor says only some. Did the governor say how they've determined which ones will be drained and how they're going to make that determination if they haven't decided yet?
Yeah, so there are four ponds across the state that have been receiving attention over the last couple of months, and those are the ones that the governor wants to drain. Now, the thing with his proposal yesterday is that it's the first official indication that lawmakers are going to take some sort of action with these coal ash ponds this year. But you have to remember that the governor can't introduce bills himself into the General Assembly. We're expecting that probably there's going to be a bill that'll come from the House and a bill that'll come from the Senate. Another thing you got to remember is that the Senate President Phil Berger, this coal ash spill happened in his hometown in Eden. So he's got a lot of interest in this too.
All right. Other environmental stories. Mining and Energy Commission finalized rules and recommendations on fracking in North Carolina. These rules are going to be presented to the public and to the General Assembly later in the year. Tell us what we know now.
Okay. So What just happened is that this commission finished an 18-month process yesterday, and they completed roughly 120 rules that are going to govern how the fracking industry operates here in the state. And just a really quick background, some of these rules have been, fracking itself is controversial. So some of these rules are individually controversial. So, for example, there was a rule that pertained to when and how fracking companies would have to disclose the chemicals they use to pump into the ground to be able to extract the natural gas. That rule took them over a year to get through. And so yesterday, they finalized 48 rules. So this was sort of a very symbolic moment, because the commission wants to be able to finish on schedule so that fracking can start, the state can start issuing permits for fracking next year.
And tell us about that rule in particular, because that was really a sticking point. Companies did do fracking, say, this is very safe, and we don't want to tell you what's in it. That sounded suspicious. So what the public says is, well, if it's safe, why don't you tell us what's in it? Mm-hmm. How did they resolve this?
Right. So the two sides to that is that the business side of it is that there are certain chemicals that we as individual businesses develop that are our trade secret. And so it'll hurt our bottom line if we tell everybody, including our competitors, what those chemicals are. So the way that the commission dealt with it is that the companies will have to tell the Department of Environment and Natural Resources what these chemicals are when they're going through a permitting process to be able to build a well. And then they have to establish that it is in fact a trade secret. And then once they're done with that process, nobody keeps that information except for the company.
Mm. All right. So that's on the bill right now, or sort of in the works, 48 out of 120. Many environment, and you said an 18-month process, which sounds like a long time, but environmentalists say, wait a minute, you're not taking enough time, right?
Right. Right. That was the, as you would say, a major sticking point. They were saying that, people like the Southern Environmental Law Center were saying that this commission didn't have enough scientific research in order to be able to develop some of these rules. But I talked to Jim Womack. He's the chairman of the commission yesterday. And he said, look, I mean, this is an ongoing process. This is the best that we could do right now. This is a really formidable set of rules that we have, and we're going to continue going.
And he seemed really concerned that he meet his deadlines mandated by the legislature. Let's listen.
I'm not satisfied that we've got the best possible rule set yet. We've still got work to do, and we're going to continue to labor over this bundle until we can get it to be the best product we can make it. But I will assure you that we will produce this rule set on schedule for the legislature. We're going to meet the intent of the legislature. We're going to produce it on time. And if drilling doesn't begin in the spring of 2015, it won't be because the Mining and Energy Commission didn't do its job.
All right. So then what is in the way? This will be presented to the legislature. Will there be a period for public comment and public hearings on this?
Yep. So what's in store right now is that the Mining and Energy Commission is going to take one last look to all these rules that they did individually over a year and a half. They'll look at them as a whole package in June. Then there's going to be three public hearings that are scheduled for August. So that means you or anybody who has an interest in this can show up and talk to the commission and express their concerns.
And will the rules be public between now and then so that the public could have a chance to look them over?
Yes, they'll become public after June.
Let's talk about some other rules, because one of the questions was the questions about how drilling companies receive permits to build wells, right?
Right. And so that was one of the rules that they voted on yesterday. So the way that rule is written right now, what they're going to do is that they're going to require these companies to get a permit from the Department of Transportation, because, as you might imagine, I mean, these are really big sites. There's going to be a lot of traffic going back and forth from them. So they're going to have to get a permit from the Department of Transportation, and then they'll be able to go to the Department of Environment and Natural Resources.
What about the rules governing responsibility for a toxic or any kind of environmental disaster in terms of how much space? I think that changed a little bit, wasn't it? The amount of land that the company might be responsible for.
Right. So that actually, the commission said that, so it starts to get a little bit tricky here, because there was something that wasn't under the rules themselves. There was sort of this distance that was in an old rule that the state had on oil and gas wells that said that there would be testing for up to 5,000 feet away from a well. So the commission doesn't really have jurisdiction over that because it's part of an existing law. So they're asking the General Assembly to take action on that, possibly when the General Assembly goes in session in May, to reduce that from 5,000 feet to 2,500 feet.
Well, let's talk about another issue and another contentious environmental situation, the pollution of Jordan Lake. A state commission was tasked with finding ways to clean that up. They met yesterday for the last time. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, so this is one of the cases in which the news was that there was no news, because as you might remember, this issue with pollution in Jordan Lake dates back since pretty much when Jordan Lake was built as a reservoir. So in just quick background, in 2009, the General Assembly reached a compromise that they set these rules that made requirements for the stormwater and the wastewater that would go into the streams that go into the lake. Now, they've been postponed three times now. And when they were postponed last year, part of the there were actually some members of the Senate that wanted to just repeal these rules altogether. So part of the compromise was that they would postpone them, and they would establish this committee that would look at different ways that we could address this issue of pollution in Jordan Lake, which about 300,000 people here in the Triangle use for drinking water.
Now, there's two basic ways to look at this, right? One is to clean the water before it gets there. The other is to let it get in there, and we'll try to purify it after the fact, right?
That's right. So the rules sort of become – the way they've become politically, they've become sort of a development – people who are in business versus people, you know, who local governments who are trying to use this for drinking water, and then environmental groups. Because part of the rules dictate for there to be a certain type of construction done in order for there to be less nutrients going from development from neighborhoods into the water streams. And that's pretty expensive.
So we will stay tuned. What's the future there in terms of the next step?
So this commission that was set out for 5 months to find solutions said that they have no proposals at this point, and they'll come up with something, but there won't be any type of legislation that will go into this with the General Assembly in May.
All right, Jorge, as always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
Jorge Valencia, WUNC's Capital Bureau reporter. Just ahead, we continue our conversations with candidates from the 2nd Congressional District. Clay Aiken joins us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.